Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who recently gave a commencement address to the students at Benedictine College and denied every single tenet of our great faith of inclusion by proclaiming his devout Catholicism. Although much attention has been paid to Butker's heretical support for intact, lifelong heterosexual marriages in which the person identified female at birth gives up a real career and stays home to serve the person identified male at birth and their children, there is far more in his speech than we should condemn. He assaulted the entire range of our teachings about human sexuality, opposing not only abortion, but also contraception. And even though this was once a standard teaching by all Christian faiths who took seriously the blessings of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply, we have successfully rebranded sexual reproduction as a pleasurable pastime that anyone can enjoy at any time with pretty much any partner, so long as they both sign the proper consent forms and only ever so rarely within marriage for the purpose of actually, you know, reproducing. As a result, opposition to contraception has been whittled down to pretty much just the Catholics and the Mormons. Butker also encouraged these Catholic students to be publicly outspoken for their faith, something we pretend to support, but obviously only mean when it comes to people who are standing up for what they believe when it is also what we believe. He even claimed that men and fathers matter in a unique way to the formation of citizens, but one of our core dogmas is that men are at best an uncomfortable inconvenience and at worst, the thing you fear more than a bear in the woods. Now, some have commented that Butker is a Roman Catholic speaking to Roman Catholic students at a Roman Catholic school about Roman Catholic ideas, as if to imply there's nothing wrong with that. But I say no. If we start allowing Catholics to say what they like to their own people in a school they run, how soon before they start saying it in public places, or on radio shows, or in television programs, or, gasp, newspapers? No, the way to make sure none of that craziness ever happens is to nip this in the bud and make sure no Catholic ever again thinks it's acceptable to proclaim Catholicism to Catholics in Catholic ceremonies. No, sir. Not on our watch. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, for failing to recuse himself from a case involving President Trump's immunity to prosecution for his role in the January 6th insurrection, after it was discovered that a beach house Alito owns was seen flying two different flags associated with the insurrectionists. One was an upside-down American flag representing extreme distress or danger. The other was the Appeal to Heaven flag, featuring a pine tree that goes back to the Revolutionary War, with the idea from philosopher John Locke that oppressed people are justified in using revolution to overthrow an unjust government, trusting in the judgment of God on their cause. Both flags have been used by the election-denying January 6ers and also by some Christian nationalists. What's challenging about this particular offense is that the person who made the flag choice was not Justice Alito himself, but rather his wife Martha. In fact, he actually asked her to stop flying them, which she refused to do. He also says she did not know of their connection to the insurrectionists and that she was flying them in response to an aggressively rude neighbor. Now look, we understand that Alito himself may not have made the decision to fly the flags. Also, we understand that blaming a husband for his wife's use of her free speech looks like hypocrisy on our part, since we firmly believe that a man neither can control his wife nor should he even be trying to do so. In fact, typically, when a man refuses to do what her husband says, we say things like, "You go, girl." But none of this matters. Consistency of message just isn't our thing, baby. And if we want to be, on the one hand, the folks who tell women to stand up for themselves and to fly their freak flags and not be subject to any man when it suits our purposes, and then criticize a man for failing to control his wife when that suits our purposes, well, that is our prerogative. After all, the Alitos are conservatives, and hence the protections, inclusion, and respect due to normally to people are just not applying to them. So yes, if a neighbor has been unfairly bullying Mrs. Alito and she flies a historical flag in merely visual protest, we can certainly use that choice to unfairly bully him, even if it really makes no sense to do so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, ChatGPT, the sexist and racist open artificial intelligence bot that recently failed one of the most basic of Wokeness 101 tests, the inability to change the facts so that they support our beliefs. What happened was, researchers asked 10 different image generators on ChatGPT to produce a picture of someone who works in finance, a successful investor, the CEO of a company. In response, ChatGPT churned out photo after photo of athletic, handsome, confident, white men, 99 times out of 100. When the researchers then asked it to produce a photo of a secretary, 9 of the 10 images were of women. All 10 were white. Now, yes, some sexist, racist, conservative commentators have observed that in reality, 90% of all CEOs are in fact men, and that 76% of them are in fact white. This certainly does not mean it's okay for a machine learning tool to produce results that taken individually represent the most likely true answer to the question, is this one random CEO a white male? No, no. We expect more from our non-human artists and content generators. How are women going to learn that they can be CEOs if we don't reprogram our machines to produce the affirmative action of imaginary pictures? How are minorities going to learn that they too can work in finance if we don't require the cutting-edge artists of AI to show the truth as we want it to be, rather than the truth as it is? Only the most racist and sexist human being would have the audacity to perform this same imaginative task with such bigoted and non-inclusive results. Similarly, ChatGPT must learn to have more shame and hide the truth like a healthy, suppressed human artist would. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Untasty Freeze, makers of Ice Bean, a specially formulated not-so-fine ice cream substitute made from certified gluten-free vegan non-dairy powdered bean sprout paste with absolutely no sweeteners at all. That's right, this undelicious snack contains no nutritional value and also creates no mouth pleasure either, reminding us that even if virtue doesn't taste sweet, at least we're committed enough to eat it. Untasty Freeze, you really can't taste anything but the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.